Welcome, everybody. This is the U.S. Grace Forest Podcast. I'm Doug Barry, along with my very good friend, always excellent and amazing, Father Richard Heilman. And tonight we got with us Daniel O'Connor. We got him back. And you were just with us a few episodes ago, but we can't get
him. And now I'm in hiding.
Now he's in hiding. We don't want to say where. The enemies of truth are after him. He's hiding out in a dark place somewhere. We got to keep him safe. So we're not gonna reveal his location. All right. But of course, everything needs to begin with prayer. And Father, we always turn that over to you.
Yeah. So tonight, because we just started, as this recording goes out, it will be yesterday, a nine-month novena with our beloved Raymond Cardinal Burke. And so he is asking us to pray this prayer. So I'd like to pray with it with all our viewers today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
O Virgin Mother of God, we fly to your protection and beg your intercession against the darkness and sin which evermore envelop the world and menace the church. Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, gave you to us as our mother as he died on the cross for our salvation. So too in 1531, when darkness and sin beset us, he sent you as Our Lady of Guadalupe on Tepeyac to lead us to him who alone is our light and our salvation. Through your apparitions on Tepeyac and your abiding presence with us on the miraculous mantle of your messenger, Saint Juan Diego, millions of souls converted to faith in your divine Son. Through this novena and our consecration to you, we humbly implore your intercession for our daily conversion of life to him and the conversion of millions more who do not yet believe in him. In our homes and in our nation, lead us to him who alone wins the victory over sin and darkness in us and in the world. Unite our hearts to your Immaculate Heart so that they may find their true and lasting home in the most sacred heart of Jesus. Ever guide us along the pilgrimage of life to our eternal home with him. So may our hearts, one with yours, always trust in God's promise of salvation, in his never-ending mercy toward all who turn to him with a humble and contrite heart. Through this novena and our consecration to you, O Virgin of Guadalupe, lead all souls in America and throughout the world to your divine Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And thank you very much, Father. And thank you, Cardinal Burke, for that great prayer and this whole 12 or 9 month novena, pardon me. We want to encourage everybody out there to get involved in that. We want to thank everybody else out there who supports the U.S. Grace Force podcast. We can't do this without you. And we have been very blessed, thanks be to God, to have great comments, great encouragement, and a lot of people saying that they're praying for us. That means everything to us. So thank you. You are all in our prayers. We appreciate it very much. And we thank those of you who support us financially. That also is a very powerful way to help us continue to get this message out. And you can do that if you're so inclined and interested. You can do that through the Patreon program. Just click the link in the description below, and that will take you out to the Patreon setup. And you can just throw a few dollars each month our way, and many hands make light the work. We can get a lot of work done. We can reach a lot of lives, a lot of souls with your assistance. So thank you so much for that. We've got with us again tonight, as you mentioned, Daniel O'Connor. Daniel, this title, so much we wanted to get into. Eclipse, prophecies, and a cardinal's call. Is this our last chance? And we're not trying to sound overly dramatic here, but listen to that prayer that Cardinal Burke wrote about the sin that is enveloping the world ever more so all the time. And then we see constantly shoes dropping, it seems, of new examples of the signs of our times. You just told us before we started recording, I didn't catch this at the time we're recording this, that the National Catholic Register just reported that the Coptic Church has severed all ecumenical dialogue. In fact, I'll read it right here. Coptic Orthodox Church confirms ecumenical dialogue has been suspended due to Rome's change of position on homosexuality. So yeah, the confusion of that whole issue, and won't get into that necessarily directly, but I mean, Daniel, we're seeing the signs of the times with that situation. We've got an eclipse coming on April 8th. There's significance to that. We'll break that down. Of course, Cardinal Burke's call for this nine-month novena, which is massively, massively powerful if we cooperate with it and embrace it. And then we've got these alleged, and we want to be very clear with the audience, these are alleged messages coming out of an order in near San Antonio, a religious community called the Mission of Divine Mercy. Now, these again are alleged. We want to talk about this because we want to help people discern this properly and vet these so that no one can be misled or fall into sensationalism and so forth. So there's a lot here, and there's more we could have gotten into, but this is probably going to take up the entire 9 hours that we're going to make this podcast last.
Get so comfortable.
Just kidding, everyone. Not 9 hours.
Tie your pants legs.
Yeah. What was that, Father?
Tie your pants legs. It's an old expression.
Yeah, there you go.
I haven't heard that one.
Well, Daniel, thanks for coming back on.
Thank you for having me. Very happy to be here, as always. Boy, is there a lot to talk about. You know, if the title there, is this our last chance? You know, I've been following the messages for a very long time, and I would say, I would give a very simple one-word answer to that. Yes. This is our last chance. And when you look at the constant messages for so long now, warning of this great apostasy coming, warning us to stick with the true magisterium, as I said earlier, and how this deception and this heresy will reach the very highest levels where it could possibly reach in accordance with divine providence, but not one inch further. We are seeing that playing out now before our eyes. And heaven is not unaware of this. Heaven is warning us, giving us a final chance to steer, to alter, or to mitigate the course of the chastisements that are to come. And we hope and pray that we'll help spur you on today to do some of that mitigation yourself.
Yeah,
we had Cardinal Burke on last week, and boy, he was so gracious to come on, and it was a great podcast. But I've been struck at the timing of Cardinal Burke's call for us to basically become the army of Our Lady of Guadalupe in these tumultuous times that we live in right now. And I think a lot of the people that tune in to the Grace Force are people who are tuned in. I've noticed so much over my years of priesthood that those who truly enter the divine life, you know, that believe in the power of grace, seek it, and try to fill themselves up with it, are more tuned in to what God is doing and also what the devil's up to as well. And I think that's part of what we try to do on the Grace Force too, is to then discuss this. You know, you're seeing it, I'm seeing it, we're all seeing it. And then also, what do we do about that? And we've done a lot in that area as well. But right now, and as soon as I heard Cardinal Burke was going to make this call for a nine-month novena, I said, we got to join in, unite in this. And you're saying this could be our last chance, our final hour, or what? Who knows? I'm hopeful. You know, all the messages of Our Lady said always had that two-letter word, if my people. We also saw the story of Jonah and Nineveh, that when they repented. But that's what we're being called to right now, to repentance. And I'm thinking now of the only other message that Sister Agnes Sisagawa received. What was it, 50 years after her first message in 1973, Roe v. Wade year? She gets this on October 6, 2019, and it's just simply, put on ashes, pray a repentant rosary. I mean, if that's not Jonah, I don't know what. And there's a lot of links, isn't there, Daniel, to what we're going through right now, kind of that call of Jonah. Can you maybe address some of those? So we have this eclipse coming up, which is fascinating. One article I read was it's the first like it since 1776. You know, and there's just all kinds of things that just make you go, huh, what's going on with this? The two eclipses in 2017 and 2024 form across the nation. Just a lot of things that make you go, huh. Maybe Daniel, if you would address that, if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose I should begin with a few seconds of noting the wrong way of approaching these signs in the sky.
Yes.
You know, the superstitious omen reading way would be like an astrologer or like a tarot card reader or a what's with the tea leaf readers. They just look at something that's happening objectively and say, this is a map for what has to happen in the future. And that's fatalism and that's defeatism. Right. So we never look at what's going on in the sky, naturally speaking, and assume that this is some sort of a writing of what has to happen. That would be the sin of superstition.
Yep.
But it would be the vice of rationalism to go to the opposite extreme and assume that what these things symbolize is unimportant. You know, the deism is a heresy, and it's amazingly common today, even among people who call themselves Catholic. They'll argue for Darwinism, even in accordance with this deist heresy, where God is just this watchmaker who sets everything in motion in the beginning, and then he just leaves creation to itself. He leaves us to ourselves, and just lets things play out in accordance with what was done in the beginning. That's also a heresy. So the happy medium here is this supernatural sense of God is ultimately in charge, and he is in charge of the future, and everything can be mitigated and changed in accordance with his will and our response. But he also lets these things happen. As Jesus himself said in the gospel, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And we've seen even the crucifixion, for example, the sun was darkened for 3 hours during that. And I'm not saying that was an eclipse, but still it was a sign in the heavens. And the Revelation has signs in the heavens. So we know that this is significant. So we know we should be paying attention. And when you talk about eclipses, you already mentioned Jonah, Father. The first thing that I think of with Jonah and eclipses is the fact that Jonah's preaching, and too few people realize this, coincided with this great Assyrian eclipse. And you could look it up yourself online. You'll discover that the great Assyrian eclipse back in 7 something 100 BC, it happened right in Nineveh as Jonah was preaching. And when you look at this eclipse today, and again, what we'll say here in the following minutes is not intended as this fatalist, it's written so it has to happen exactly this way. No, we're just looking to the signs that God is allowing as calls to ourselves for repentance and conversion, prayer and evangelization. So if you look at this eclipse that we're about to have next month, as we're recording this, less than a month away, it's going to cut through America. And it's going to start, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's going to start somewhere in America in a little town, a little census acknowledged place at least, called Jonah. And then it's going to go across through America through several cities called Nineveh. And did I have that right about it starting in Jonah, Father?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a town just down by San Antonio area. So it's towards the beginning of this whole path of the eclipse, and it's Jonah. And Jonah happens to fall, the little town, I think it's, what, I don't know, 100 people or less. It's not very big, but it's right on the banks of a river called San Gabriel. So Saint Gabriel. And I know, Father, this has been kind of prominent in your mind, that this is happening on April 8th, which is the Feast of the Annunciation, which has been moved specifically this year. Is that correct, Father?
Yeah, whenever a major feast like that lands in Holy Week, they want to move it out. And they actually move it not only out of Holy Week, but out of the octave of Easter. So the next date happens, I'm doing the air quotes, to land right on April 8th, when this eclipse. And that was one of the first things that I noticed that makes you go, huh? You know, you're so right, Daniel, that we don't want to get superstitious about this. And I always tell the viewers too, that I stopped predicting things long ago because God does the opposite to make me humble. But we do want to pay attention to what God is trying to tell us. And oftentimes we'll look back on things and see, oh, I see what you did there. But here it's, I don't know, it's got my attention. And I think all of you guys too, that here the Feast of the Annunciation, I mean, that's the beginning of the rosary, you know, and it's the beginning of the Angelus, but it's the beginning. I said this last week with the Cardinal, that's really when Jesus comes into the world. Yet we celebrated on Christmas 9 months later. No, he came into the world in Mary's womb on March 25th. And again, this year moved off of March 25th and onto April 8th. So, the coming of Jesus, it makes you think that. And
It's the greatest event. I mean, and according to Pope Benedict XVI, Pope Benedict XVI said that the greatest event in history was the Annunciation.
The Annunciation.
And that's very, I get attacked whenever I say that because they say, oh, no, I should point to other things. Well, look, I'm just quoting the Pope here. And I agree with him that this, and it's so hidden because we don't even celebrate it until 9 months later, as you said. And here we are starting this 9 month novena. And that's so prophetic because we've got something happening in actuality. But then we've got this 9 month period of hiddenness until it becomes manifest for the world.
Yeah, 9 months.
And I see, it's like something's starting now. And with this eclipse, but also just with so many other signs. And it's the call to this remnant faithful to be that army, that Gideon's army that God needs for the mitigation of the chastisements.
Yeah.
And while the world doesn't realize what's happening.
Yeah. And it, like Jonah calling Nineveh, you know, all of the apparitions, the messages from Our Lady would always have that two-letter word, if. Mm-hmm. And it happened for Nineveh. If my people put on sackcloth and ashes and repent, like Nineveh did, God relented in his punishment. And so I'm so excited about what Cardinal Burke heard from the Holy Spirit to call us to do, because it's so much like, you know, Jonah calling out, it's time for us to unite in prayer and to repent. And because this feels to me, and I think you guys and our listeners, that this might be our last chance. I mean, look at what we're facing going into this 2024. It has a lot of people very, very concerned that, you know, it's gotten bad, but this thing could blow up. And so, yes, let's pray. Let's pray. There's so many ways we want to hit this. One of the things I just thought about too is that it also coincides with the messages received from St. Faustina and the Divine Mercy. Mm. We were talking about one of those before we aired.
That's paragraph 83, wasn't it?
Yeah, 83.
I've got it open on my screen right now.
Yeah, you want to read that?
Read it real quick? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So paragraph 83, you can look it up in your Divine Mercy, My Soul, right. St. Faustina's diary. Jesus, these are the words of Jesus directly to St. Faustina. He said, write this, before I come as a just judge, I am coming first as the King of Mercy. Yeah. Before the day of justice arrives, there will be given to the people a sign in the heavens of this sort. All lights in the heavens will be extinguished, and there will be a great darkness over the whole earth. Then the sign of the cross will be seen in the sky. And from the openings where the hands and the feet of the Savior were nailed, will come forth great lights which will light up the earth for a period of time. This will take place shortly before the last day. And that's
And the fact that this eclipse is, you know, where darkness, you know, where the sun is darkened, comes the day after the Feast of Divine Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and because of where Easter falls and it had to be moved.
Yeah.
So many things lining up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think an important thing to remember here too for everybody, for all of us, is that it's another reminder that, you know, God works through signs and wonders in the skies and in the heavens. And this is something, you know, Daniel, I know you can speak to, the fact that what you just read, paragraph 83 in the diary of St. Faustina, we're talking about signs that we'll see in the sky. This is not to be just scoffed at as some, you know, sort of planetary movement all the time. I mean, sure, there's orbits and comets and this and that, but we also have signs that are predicted, prophesied, and have happened that have to do with seeing natural things in the heavens, in the skies around us. And by the way, just so the audience knows as well, if you haven't looked into this, the beginning of this path of the eclipse is around the San Antonio. That's near the beginning of it. And it then moves across the United States and hits several, at least several, that we can verify, cities named Nineveh. And I know, Daniel, you were looking into this to verify this, and there are several, at least three or so, and then it's reported up to seven. If that's accurate, we don't know for sure, but some are saying it's as many as seven in the U.S. and one in Canada. But I know you said yourself you found at least a few. So we've got even another sign and wonder there. And I just got to say to everybody, we can look at these and constantly just say, nothing but coincidence here, folks. Nothing but coincidence. We can do that over and over and over and over again. But sooner or later, God makes clear, and oftentimes it's through signs and wonders in the heavens, that he's doing something. Is that not accurate, Daniel?
Yeah, I just want to say too, is that if you look at a map with the cities of Nineveh, it's like they're in America, there is a path of Nineveh, you know, a path of Nineveh cities, and it passes through that path.
Yeah, it definitely does go in the general arc is indeed Texas to the northeast.
Right.
And I wouldn't go so far as say the full eight or seven are right within the eclipse.
Right.
But you know,
they're in that path.
Like a few of them are a bit distance from it, but it's still, it still does chart out the general arc. Like we don't have a bunch of Ninevehs in the northwest or the southeast. Right. So it's, it's providential. And to just write these things off, as Doug was pointing out, it's just, oh, it's just coincidence. Like you can do that until you're blue in the face. But what, let me just give you Pascal's wager here. What is to be lost by seeing in these things calls to repentance? Do you really think you really think you're in danger by looking at these things that God has ordained before the beginning of time? He charted out the course of the stars and the planetary objects, the sun and the moon. He charted those out with a purpose. Do you really think that this is just completely random and meaningless? I don't think so. And when I look at these additional signs, as Father was mentioning with the Annunciation and Divine Mercy Sunday, and Doug was talking about the Nineveh, it's like, enough is lining up here that we'd be very foolish to write this off as meaningless. But, you know, and I don't want to be the negative Nancy, the Debbie Downer over here, but with Jonah being brought up, too many people assume, okay, this is our Jonah moment, we'll be okay. Because everybody knows, right? Everybody knows that Jonah preached and Nineveh was spared. But what too few people know about is what happened 100 to 150 years later. And this is right in your Bible. Open it up to the book of the prophet Nahum. He also was sent to Nineveh a few generations after Jonah because they became wicked again, because how quickly we forget. And Nahum preached to Nineveh then, saying destruction was coming, and they didn't listen. And I think, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think we're now at our Nahum moment because we aren't listening. And we're this webcast because there's still time. You know, there's still time for us to change course. And we're begging you to do that, to join this army of prayer because we still can alter the course of events. But it's looking, as we look at the world now, it's looking like this is our Nahum.
And it's interesting how Nineveh was destroyed. It was said it was laid siege for 3 months by Babylonians and led by Babylonians. And it basically collapsed under an enemy and was burned. I mean, they set fire to it as one of the ways that they helped destroy it. And that was one of the ways Nahum said that it would be destroyed. There would be ascending fire and such. So, yeah, we do have to remember that it was, 150 years or so. We can lose things in America, anywhere in the world. We can lose morality. We can lose the light. We can lose an understanding of truth and dignity. Look what happened just, you know, when how many years from the United States foundation and other countries, you know, the dignity of the human person was recognized and then something takes over. Communism spreads the error of her ways, as Our Lady warned in 1917 in Fatima. And that's something else I think it's important to remember. And I get your comment on this too, Daniel, is, you know, we hear the talk that, you know, these things are coming, these things are coming. And I know there are people who will always say, and I've heard them say this to me, well, it hasn't happened yet, Doug. So I'm not going to worry about chastisements and so forth. Well, when the children of Fatima said in 1917, there would be a second war, it would be far worse than the first one. There had to be people, I'm just play the numbers, how many people there were on the planet who may have heard of it and thought, nah, it's not going to happen. We'll never do that again. And then the day it begins, still people would have scratched their head and wondered, yeah, is this really going to be worse than the first World War? And by the end of World War I, the gravity of that death was 30, 40 million estimated dead. By the end of World War II, it was almost double, 65 to 70, depending on historical, you know, statisticians and what they would say. But the gravity of and the magnitude of the way that they could accomplish the brutal behavior, the weaponry in particular, now looking at what we have in our world today, even something as effective as cyber warfare, which we've been seeing a lot of lately, as we record this, United Healthcare, which is a major health insurance company in this country and throughout, has an arm of their company called Change Health. Change Health is still at this moment recovering into its third or fourth week of recovery from a cyber attack, which affected up to 70,000, I believe, pharmacies across the country. Bill paying was reduced to a crawl. Many people had to decide whether or not to fork over the money out of their pocket or try to negotiate with insurance companies, but the cyber attack affected that. That type of warfare can devastate us on a whole nother level, shutting down a power grid, affecting a water treatment plant, and so forth. My point here, when we hear of the gravity of chastisement that could come to us, if, again, like Father was saying, if we don't respond, it could be something so devastating that the power grid, water treatment plants, gas stations, health, hospitals, insurance companies, you name it, the banks could all be deeply, deeply wounded and affected in such a way that could really wreck our entire infrastructure. And that could cause mass chaos, mass devastation on a whole nother level. I say this to encourage people to realize that when the prophecies speak of the gravity of a chastisement escalating, there's definitely grounds for that possibility. And, you know, and again, I know Father keeps reminding us, if in Daniel, I agree with Father, we still have that chance to mitigate. Cardinal Raymond Burke has asked for us to join forces with him. Don't you think that one of the key issues here is that people have to choose of their own free will? Yes, I'm going to cooperate with this effort and unite in this army of warriors to prayerfully turn back to Jesus through our Blessed Mother. What are your thoughts on that key part of this? Because we can talk about this all we want, but if we don't respond and say, yes, I'll join in this, then where does it get us?
Amen. Wow. Amen. So, and that's the basic problem. So you started with pointing out how, you know, World War I, people were thinking, you know, something worse than this can't happen. And I think about this, the idea of a prophet back then, which was H.G. Wells. And he said, this was blasted across the world at the final days of World War I. I can't remember exactly the month and the year, but he said, this is the last war. This is the war to end all wars. He pronounced this. And this, you know, sci-fi author promoting all these alien and time travel deceptions. But he said, and people trusted him. People believed him because he was a sci-fi author. He was the idea of the secular world's idea of a prophet. And he said, this is the war to end all wars. And then, but what was Our Lady saying to the children of Fatima at the same time? If you don't repent, a worse one will come. Did we repent? No, a worse one came. But now we have ourselves thinking that a worse thing still can't happen. But Our Lady is warning us, yes, it can. Fire can fall from heaven and wipe out a greater part of mankind. And that could be a supernatural chastisement, you know, directly from the heavens, literally, or it could be more of a metaphorical description of, you know, World War III. Either way, the point is things, of course, they can get worse. Just because it happened in a certain way in the past doesn't mean that's how it will continue to happen. So we're being given this last chance, and it's being left up to our free will to give our fiat. And, you know, my point here is not to say, unless you join Cardinal Burke's novena and like promise to say it every single day, you're the enemy. No, the point is, this is a great way of giving your fiat. There's other ways, but you've got to realize that we're in apocalyptic times, and the world at large, and too often the church, has sided with the evil one. And that side is going to hell in a handbasket. And when Our Lady of Akita warned, as we talked about before, cardinal versus cardinal, bishop versus bishop in the times ahead, I don't believe that was a call from Our Lady to throw up her hands and say, oh, discord and division is happening. That's such a shame. No, I think it was a call from Our Lady to realize that there will even be shepherds in the church who will side with evil. And there will be shepherds in the church siding with the truth. And we have plenty of shepherds siding with the truth and leading us that we can remain safe. But we've got also many leading us off the path of the great apostasy.
Mm. Yeah.
You were saying, Daniel, about Nahum. And it made me think, because when you hear the story again, they were overwhelmed or sacked by the Babylonians, right? And when I hear that, I have to share one of my favorite quotes. It was from Jeffrey Kuhner, of the Washington Times, and I'd like to share that with you right now. He said this: for the past 50 years, every major institution has been captured by this radical secular left. The media, Hollywood, TV, universities, public schools, theater, the arts, literature, they relentlessly promote the false gods of sexual hedonism and radical individualism. Conservatives have ceded the culture to the enemy. Tens of millions of unborn babies have been slaughtered. Illegitimacy rates have soared. Divorce has skyrocketed. Pornography is rampant. Drug use has exploded. Sexually transmitted diseases such as AIDS have killed millions. Birth control is a way of life. Sex outside of wedlock has become the norm. Countless children have been permanently damaged, their innocence lost forever because of the proliferation of broken homes. And sodomy and homosexuality are celebrated openly. And then he concludes with this line: America has become the new Babylon. I mean, I read that and I feel like the invasion of the Babylonians started at least 50 years ago. And we've been being sacked in all that time. And then I'll go to this. And then we're called to be the church militant, to face these evil betrayers of God, and to stand against them, yes, with prayer, but also with truth. And we're living in a time, aren't we, Daniel, where truth is punished. If you dare speak up against what I just pointed out, thanks to that amazing quote from Jeffrey Kuhner, if you dare try to defend what is the 50-year sacking of America through these Babylonians of our time, that you will be destroyed. And yet there are some that stand and say, no, not on my watch. This is the historical moment we're living in right now. And that's why I say, Cardinal Burke, this prayer that he's calling us to, I think is absolutely a call out to the Blessed Mother, her powerful intercession with God, but it's also a call for all of us to start listening and start getting courageous once again and stop letting the plunder and sacking of the new Babylonians of our times destroy America. I don't know. I'm hopeful in that respect, that what if this 9-month period is the Great Awakening, is a time where people pick up their arms, right? The rosary. By the way, this is I'm going to use this all during this is my new Guadalupe rosary. But we pick up our arms and we call out what God teaches, what God wants, and we keep people from being sacked and plundered in our times. I don't know. What do you think about what I'm saying there?
Amen. And the devil is on the rage today because he knows his time is short. Yeah. And he's unleashing all his rage against those who are opposing him. And as Padre Pio said, I'll paraphrase, you know, all that should concern us is when the devil is complacent with our state of soul. And if you're not in some way being attacked right now, that probably means you're not doing enough to oppose the devil. And I'm not saying seek out discord and dissension. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, speak the truth, do God's will boldly without calculating the cost. Now pray that prayer of St. Ignatius. Lord, give me the grace to serve you as you deserve, to give without counting the cost, to labor without seeking reward. Let that be your mantra. And if you do that, you're going to have persecutions. And there's a good chance that they'll come from within the church. And we've seen our greatest leaders within the church receiving these very persecutions, the same shepherds we should still be looking up to. I'm thinking of obviously Cardinal Burke.
Right.
We don't need to go into details there to know that he's, of course, been acted against, and Cardinal Seurat and Bishop Strickland and so many others. Right. These are the ones trying to lead us through these perilous times.
Stand against the new Babylonians. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they stood. Because they stood against these new Babylonians, they have been persecuted. And if someone's not persecuted, if they're blending in just fine with the new Babylonians in the world or the church, that's a sign that you should be cautious of them if they haven't been condemned by some power that be who's not necessarily on the right side. You know, even this highfalutin theologian, the Vatican, last year, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, he basically came out and said, and he was at this big shot institute commission to discerning Marian apparitions. And he, for all intents and purposes, said, no, any apparition that speaks about chastisements, that can't possibly be true.
No.
By way of which he condemns almost all of the approved apparitions.
No.
So there is a coordinated attack right now. I don't know who's coordinating it on earth, but I know that Satan down below is ultimately coordinating all of this against everything that is of God, because he wants to infiltrate everything. And he has already succeeded in infiltrating so much.
I just want to follow up real quick because just it's fresh for me. This weekend, the readings was basically John 3:16 and the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that ever believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Mm-hmm. And I always found it interesting that that's John 3:16. We used to see him on bumper stickers all the time. It was just John 3:16, but kind of sum up. But I always was struck because Revelation 3:16 is this. Oh, how I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I vomit you out of my mouth. It was Pope Pius V that said, all the problems in the world are due to lukewarm Catholics. Mm-hmm. And yet that's what we're being called to be by the present leadership in the church. Don't get anybody upset. Don't ruffle any feathers. Don't stand and fight against the new Babylonians. You know, let's be lukewarm, you know, because that's everybody just get along. Everybody, you see what I'm saying? That's why we're losing right now. And I'm hoping and praying that with this call to prayer by Cardinal Burke, that it pours out grace into the hearts of the warriors that are out there, and that we begin to make that stand and reclaim surrendered ground once again and say, no, it's not your way, Babylonians, it's God's way. And here's what God's way is, and proclaim the truth openly with love, with charity. Okay, you always got to do that, because if you're not, then you're playing by the devil's tactics. Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, Cardinal Burke is one of my favorite models that I try to follow. Always charitable, but always clear with the truth at all times. Why? Because he cares people are going to hell in his midst. Okay. I mean, we could wait for this time to pass, or what, I don't know what people are thinking, you know, No, there's people perishing in front of our eyes. And can we just stand idle and do nothing? So I'm hoping and praying, like I say, that this period of time is a time where people have that jolt of grace that comes on them, that they're courageous, and we go and rescue souls like we're called to do. I don't know. I'm really hopeful that this happens, that this is our Jonah moment, not necessarily our Nahum moment, right?
Yes, let's go for Jonah, not Nahum.
Yeah, but that we defend life, that we defend marriage, that we defend, you know, the list can go on and on.
Amen. And it can still, and you know, real quick, even if it's true that chastisements must come to the world, there's nothing that's set in stone about, you know, what, where exactly and when exactly this must happen. Entire cities, entire areas, entire nations can repent and come to the divine mercy in sackcloth and ashes. And even if chastisements must come, there can still be huge pockets of protection. And I hope no one takes that in the wrong way of thinking, okay, I need to be selfish and just think about my own being okay. No, the point here is God is willing to dispense his mercy upon anyone who asks him of it. And if we can at least compel and induce those in our sphere of influence to seek out his mercy, he'll dispense it. And I think here of, to date, the only approved apparition in the United States, which was Our Lady of Good Help in Champion, Wisconsin. And this, I think this has its own prophetic significance to Jonah and Nahum. But anyway, Probably the deadliest fire in history, at least in American history, the Peshtigo fire, you can look it up, killed thousands of people. But Our Lady of Good Help in Champion, Wisconsin, this was an unapproved apparition at the time. You know, every approved apparition was unapproved at first, as we talked about in the last podcast. Anyway, it was unapproved for 150 years or so, but it was authentic the whole time. But Our Lady came, and because Our Lady came, people believed, because they had a simple, pious, Orthodox faith. And as the Catechism says, the sense of the faithful knows how to discern these private yes. revelations and accept what is of God and is not. These faithful Catholics accepted it in Champion, Wisconsin. And when this fire raged, instead of fleeing, they did a procession with a statue of Our Lady outside of the perimeter of this shrine in Wisconsin. And I remember it so well, because my wife and I, we did, on our honeymoon, we did a pilgrimage to this shrine. And the out this unprecedented fire that killed thousands, it charred to a crisp the outside of the fence surrounding this shrine. And the inside of it was untouched. Our Lady can do that. She can. And I was speaking to a priest recently who was receiving visions, and I can't say who he is publicly, but he was shown all sorts of places throughout the world, especially in Europe, but other places, of people praying the rosary in joy and happiness with fire raging behind them and their own areas completely untouched. So now is our last time before the fire falls. This is our last chance before the fire falls. And I believe that Cardinal Burke perceives that. And he's giving us this unprecedented plea to give this 9 month, not 9 day, not 9 week, 9 month novena. He's not some random blogger who's constantly putting out these apocalyptic calls to prayer. This is the cardinal. And as Father was saying, he's so careful. He's so charitable. And when he speaks so powerfully as this, we should listen, that this may well be a last chance, our last chance. I believe it is. Our last chance to seek the divine mercy before, as that paragraph we quoted earlier, the day of justice arrives.
Couple of quick points of facts for the people out there when it comes to the two fires you just mentioned. The Peshtigo Fire, 1871, same time as the Great Fire of Chicago. The Great Fire of Chicago killed approximately 300 people, consumed roughly 3.3 square miles. The Peshtigo Fire killed an estimated 2,400 people, making it the deadliest fire recorded in North American history, and scorched approximately 1.5 million acres. So it was, the gravity of it, much, much bigger than Mrs. O'Leary's cow starting the fire in Chicago. I mean, very deadly. Of course, it doesn't get the same attention as the Chicago fire. But these are all just, they're brutal moments. They're hard, but it is an amazing story that the fire burned right up to the fence and did not burn the other side of the fence. It was a wooden fence. And it stopped right there on the one side, just the one side of the fence. That's incredible. It's a miracle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate to be the guy who says that the glass is half empty. I know there's a lot of hope. Glass is half full. I don't even think the glass is half empty. I think the glass is broken, and it's maybe not holding much at all. And I know the audience might not want to hear this, but I don't have a lot of confidence, I guess. And I think the reason is because of what we saw for the last 3.5, 4 years. Let's go back to Sister Agnes Sasagawa receiving that message from the angel, October 6th, I believe, 2019, right at the beginning of all of the, oh, careful with the wording now, so we don't get this episode taken down, all at the beginning of this incident that took place and spread throughout the world, and then the manipulation and the lies and the death, the millions that suffered later because of something that was given to those millions and multiple millions, and people forced out of work because of this or that. Let's just go down the line with that. And we saw churches shut down, Daniel. They were shut down. And people, if we couldn't get the signs at that time, we need to get on our knees and pray. We need to take this seriously. We lost the ability to go in and receive Holy Communion. Bishops told their priests in some cases, don't give the sacrament of extreme unction. Don't give sacrament of the sick to people because it was too dangerous, air quotes. We saw this happen before our eyes. It devastated us in many ways, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, physically, for several years. And people are still reeling from that. I don't see the churches overflowing. I don't see the confession lines have really grown much. I'm not judging. I'm observing. And in observing, it doesn't look like we've responded. I mean, Father, you remember after 9/11, the churches mm-hmm. were full for a while. Confession lines were out the door.
Yep.
For a while there. I mean, I was traveling and speaking at that time quite a bit still. I was going out almost every week. And I remember going up to Wisconsin, in fact, that following weekend, and the church was standing room only.
You know why?
All of a sudden, everybody, yes, Father.
During 9/11, you saw the spiritual leaders rise up.
Yeah.
You know, and talked about what a wonderful country we have and about the wonderful firefighters and first responders. And you saw that, and people were attracted to that. With this recent incident, you saw spiritual leaders cave yeah. to the New Babylonians.
Yeah.
And so what's attractive about weakness? You know, we saw strength after 9/11. We witnessed weakness in this recent incident that we've yeah. had. And yeah. that's my take on it. People are attracted. It's again, we're in the army of Our Lady of Guadalupe now. Let's do that. But we're standing up and you know, we're repenting. But we're calling out and saying, you know, no mas, not under our watch.
Right.
You know, that's the strength we need. But in this present milieu, whatever you want to call it, the few that are getting behind this are getting persecuted.
Yeah.
Canceled, you know.
Yeah. We need the courage. We need more people stepping up. We need people to join forces. Father, you talk a lot about uniting at the foot of the cross.
Right.
That's everything Cardinal Burke is talking about. And Daniel, I know before we run out of time, we got about 15 minutes left, it looks like, here to get to the first hour, and then we got 8 more hours to go.
Yeah.
But to get the first hour done. No, we've got alleged messages now, and we say alleged. We always want to make sure we're clear with everybody. We want to be very cautious. We don't want people to be misled. We don't want people to be caught up in drama or sensationalism. So we speak about this because we know it's been out there for a few weeks now, at least a couple, 2.5 or so weeks. LifeSite News has covered it. These alleged messages coming from Texas down by San Antonio with this this religious order, the religious community, the mission of Divine Mercy. They have spoken a couple of times now, and they got a new message coming out. In fact, the day this podcast is being released would be their third one, Wednesday the 13th, I believe. And this is what they're saying in these messages, is that God and Our Lady are saying very clearly, allegedly now, okay, that a reconquest is coming, that God is basically responding. He has heard his people, and he's now going to respond. And one of the things that I thought was most hopeful about the message, if it is in fact true, and time will tell, I'm praying about it. I keep these at arm's length. I know, Daniel, this is something that's more in your expertise to study. And you've always been incredibly, I think, measured in the way you've talked about these. But I'll say this and then pass it to you. In these messages, we're hearing God say, allegedly again, my voice will thunder, and you will know my voice when you hear it. No one will deny it. It will crush Satan's work, words to that effect. He speaks very powerfully in these alleged messages that he has heard us and he is responding, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be all roses and sunshine. It's going to be difficult. He has allegedly key messages for bishops and for priests, some very hopeful for the priests that have been faithful. And bishops don't get much of a pass when it comes to these alleged messages about the seriousness of our times. And kind of what you had said, Father, our spiritual leaders have been largely silent with certain things. And that silence is devastating. And souls are being stolen by Satan. And leaders must, of all kinds, myself included, you too, Daniel, as husbands and fathers that we are with our families, We have to speak out more. But I'd like your response to these messages coming out of this. And I'll put a link in the description for people to go out to LifeSite News to have access to them. And again, before you take this, Daniel, to the audience again, be very careful, be very prayerful. Don't jump on the bandwagon right away. We've got to discern these things very cautiously. But I also think it's important to be aware when messages like this are coming out, especially the timing. There's a timing about these messages and a reference to a new Tepeyac, which is where Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to St. Juan Diego. Daniel, your thoughts on this?
Yeah. When you see timings coinciding, it couldn't possibly have been coordinated. I mean, you could come up with this grand conspiracy to claim that these timings were coordinated, just like the certain people are claiming that all the bishops are growing beards in opposition to Pope Francis. Just, you can come up with some crazy thing like that, but no. You realize that God is orchestrating things across completely different geographic areas. And when he says to these seers, my voice will thunder, whether or not this particular message is directly from heaven or not, we know we'll discern that. We don't claim to know for sure. But many messages have spoken of the voice of God thundering. And I was just reading recently more and more about the messages of Our Lady of Heed, Germany. This is in the middle of the 20th century, and too many Catholics don't realize this is an approved apparition. And it says that soon a mini judgment will arrive. And Jesus says, I will build my kingdom with a small number of the elect. And that this mini judgment will arrive, for some a blessing, for some a curse, depending upon how we receive it. And this mini judgment, I would look at this as a reference to the warning. And I see that also in these alleged messages to the mission of Divine Mercy, my voice will thunder. And this is not a soft message to anyone, and certainly not to the shepherds. This is not a clericalist message. You know, think about the Old Testament. Woe to the shepherds who have pastured themselves and have not pastured my flock. And when I look at Our Lady of Guadalupe, as we were talking about earlier, with this 9-month novena, Our Lady of Guadalupe coming up on 500 years ago, what's an even more significant date than that? The redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And all of this just coinciding in the several years ahead. And the redemption, you could say, was 30 AD. We don't know for sure. The Gregorian calendar might be off several years. So the redemption, it could have been anywhere from 2020, the 2000th anniversary of the redemption could be anywhere from 2026 to 2033. I don't claim to know. But the point is, we are in this unbelievably extraordinary time, this confluence of anniversaries, this confluence of messages, this confluence of signs. So when I see these alleged messages coming, just discerning them, not claiming I know these are supernatural, but when I look at them, you know, I have them on my computer. Let me just switch screens and share a few passages here I have highlighted. Our Lady allegedly saying to these seers, and this, by the way, remember, this is a religious community. I'm not clear on the details. I don't know if it's a private association of the faithful, an approved religious order, a public association of the faithful, or whatnot. But this has been established for decades now. There's priests in good standing associated with this religious community. So we shouldn't just out of hand dismiss it either. Warning that the serpent will poison many. And she's Our Lady lamenting here in the first message, how few have listened to me. And then saying there's no time left, even saying that I will give you 1 hour to repent. I will give you 1 hour. And there's a footnote right there from the seer herself, who's commenting saying, I don't know, you know, I don't pretend to know exactly what this means, but a very short time. And it says, I have called, and you called bishops who should be fathers, examples and guides. You have become worse than demons, because the demons recognize me as God, although they hate me. And I think here of the book of James, even the demons believe, though tremble. And too many today, they don't even have that. They're, as we said earlier, they're deists, maybe even full-blown atheists. So this message, even though we're purely discerning it, even though we don't claim to know it's supernatural, it's confirming what we already should know is indeed the case.
Yeah. You know, the line that struck me, what you just said, these shepherds should be fathers, okay? And it, right away I went, that's it. What's going on right now? If you think of what an awful father is, what do? They spoil their children. They let them do whatever they want. They let them go whatever way they want to go, because they just want to get along with the kids. Okay. So if the kid has a temper tantrum, or if the kid does something that's morally or anything wrong, you know, here's a candy bar, you know, because just pat you on the head. No, I love you. You know, that's the awful father. You know what the great father is? He is firm. He is clear. And sometimes a little tough with that kid to make him understand this is right. What you are doing is wrong. Okay. And that, I believe, is what's going on right now with, again, this, the spiritual leaders of our time is that, no, it's just better that we get along. Here's a Butterfinger and a Snickers bar. So we get along and we get along with, you know, and instead of saying no, the Jeffrey Kuhner quote, you know, no to this, no to that, this is what God wants. This is the truth God wants. And so what's happened is we've devolved into the new Babylon because we've had horrible fathers, okay, that's just spoiled us and let us do whatever we want so that we really didn't understand clearly what right versus wrong is in these times.
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Yeah.
And it's, and you know, I think about that whenever I go to a mass with the bishop presiding, I see him process up the aisle and I see that staff in his hand.
Yeah.
And I think to myself too often, I know this is not what I should be thinking, but it's just, you think that's a decoration. That's not a decoration. As Pope Benedict, I think it was Pope Benedict said, the bishop is not given the shepherd's crook in vain. That is to be used. That is not a decoration. But almost all treat it as a decoration. In America today, we've got a so-called Catholic commander-in-chief using his faith, using his pretended faith to argue for abortion. How is he a Catholic in good standing?
Right.
How is he not excommunicated? But this is, I maybe I shouldn't have gone there. I don't know. But this is what we're dealing with.
No, I think you're fine. It boggles your mind, actually. Mm-hmm. It does. And yet another sign of the kind of fathering that is going on right now. You know, it would be clear. You know, and excommunication is really meant to be a help for people. It's supposed to jar you, so that you want to get back into good standing. That's what a great dad does, okay? Does something to jar that child into understanding. This is serious. This is serious. And again, how can I always use the image, you know, you use the shepherd's staff. I always picture these like a shepherd leaning on the fence, you know, and watching the sheep being devoured by the wolves. Yeah, it's not my problem, or this will pass, or I don't know what, you know, but just unconcerned. And so to use the analogy, but unconcerned that souls in their midst are going to hell, and not being almost in panic mode to save those souls and to help them understand, no, we do it God's way, not the Babylonians' way, you know? So, so Daniel, here we are in, you mentioned I find it fascinating that, you know, the Jonah, the Nineveh path through the United States, and actually this mission, Divine Mercy Mission, is right near the southern part of Texas, where this eclipse comes in during that time. And I know there's going to be scoffers out there because, oh, you're talking about an eclipse and, you know, whatever. But I do think God tries to get our attention in one way, shape, or form. And this could very well be one of those times. So with a few minutes left, I really want to address to, you know, what can we do? Of course, let's pray that prayer that we opened up the podcast with, the one that Cardinal Burke is asking us to pray for 9 months. Let's join forces. Let's be in league with each other. But here's the thing. Understand what brings God's supernatural power. It's belief in that power, and it's doing things precisely God's way. I always point out that the very first miracle Jesus ever performed, that was kind of his coming out, you know, revealed who he was for the first time, was the wedding at Cana, and Mary's words, do whatever he tells you. And with those words brought miracle power. In other words, when we are in league with God, when we have no problem at all doing it God's way and refuting the world's way, then the power of grace, the miracle power of God begins to surge. Then God is more inclined to relent in punishing us, right? You know, what we God's got to get tough with us. That's what we're facing. The chastisement is, that's what it is. It's like, you know, giving the kid a spanking because he loves us. Mm-hmm. Well, how can we avert that? How can we mitigate that? How can we do that? Do whatever he tells you. And so it's my plea with everybody, get very close to our mom. What a great gift, the rosary. But go to confession. Go to confession often. Go to Mass more than just when it's an obligation too. To find time to get before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration. You know, I'll just stop right there. If you did that and do things the way God wants us to, do whatever he tells you, then that I believe that's the repentance that God's waiting for, and that could turn this so that we could avoid a spanking, a chastisement. What do you think about that, Daniel?
Yeah. Do whatever he tells you. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Those were the words that brought about, as we began this podcast, those were the words that brought about the greatest event in history, the Annunciation, the Incarnation.
Yes.
This absolute, unqualified willingness to do the will of God. If you give God that absolute fiat, he can do anything.
Let it be done to me according to that word. Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, boom, the Son of God came in the world. And again, they're moving the Annunciation feast right on this day, the day after Divine Mercy Sunday. And there's a total eclipse, the first one like it's in 1776.
The day after you've been given the opportunity of a second baptism, which is what Divine Mercy Sunday is. Divine Mercy Sunday is a second baptism, basically, for all intents and purposes, if you fulfill those easy requirements.
Yep.
And then God gives us this sign. It's like he's saying, here's all the grace, go out.
Yep.
But you got to give him your will first. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Do whatever he tells you.
I'm praying for us. Yeah. Supernatural revival, right? That we believe again in the supernatural power of God. That's what's going to save everyone. Well, I think that's a great place for us to end tonight. Daniel, thanks so much. And with that in mind, I'd like to close with the way I pray usually. And it's always with my heart, and I know our heart, in calling out to God, let's have that supernatural revival. So I hope everybody's joining the 9-month novena, joining forces, being part of the army of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Daniel. Good to have you back.
Thank
brother.
You. Daniel, great to be here. God bless you all.